I am so thankful to be with you here at Bethlehem. And, you know, the scripture Paul told Timothy, and I think this has been quoted this weekend, study to show thyself approved of God, that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we like to point out that what we're rightly dividing is not truth from error. We're rightly dividing the word of truth. And I usually try to, or like to try to, apply that to the written word of truth. But I also know, and you're well aware, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we need to rightly divide what we believe and what we trust about Him, just as much as we have to rightly divide this. And I wanted to, when you were talking about fear, and I enjoyed very much what you had to say, Brother Don, I thought of another verse that talks about fear, and I'll sneak into it this way. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. Ecclesiastes 1 through 4. I've got to because I think I've got to because it's on my mind and it's been mentioned more than once, and I pray that I don't dwell on it. But in light of recent events and recent things, and it's been preached on that we can do away with, or we can ameliorate, that's a big word, we can reduce our fear if we stand still and know that He is God. We also, I find peace in knowing there's nothing new under the sun. Wicked men will wax worse and worse, and they'll deceive and be deceived. That's what that scripture says. I wonder sometimes, and one of the themes that's been going through my mind, and we may or may not take some time. You pray for me. And it's been talked about this weekend, is the power of God. Do we trust God? Do you really trust God? That's a valid question and an important question. And I confess that there are times when I can say I haven't trusted God like I should. But I'm reminded of the scripture and the writings there of Paul in the 12th chapter of Romans, and I can probably get it quoted. I'll start it and finish it up, because to me it also adds Paul here writing to the Romans. Now, I recognize and I realize, and I've talked about rightly dividing the word of truth. I recognize that what I'm going to read, I'm going to take a little bit out of context, because the context here is the context of the glorious blessing that the Gentiles have in the 12th chapter, the glorious blessing that they have of being grafted in to the vine because of the unbelief of the Jews. And Paul comes down here to the 33rd verse, and he says, one of my many favorite scriptures, in Romans 12 and 33, he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." One of the ministers asked, "Have you ever been guilty of saying, why did God, or why would God? Why would God allow?" Ever said that? Ever thought that in your mind? Who's known the mind of the Lord? 55th chapter of Isaiah talks about, he says, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways." Who's known his mind? His ways are past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Anybody here counsel God? Careful. Careful. We may not, it sounds ridiculous and so forth, but if we're saying, "God, why did you allow?" I think we may be trying to counsel him. "For who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For," and this is a beautiful, beautiful verse, if we could just get it, I need to move on. 36th verse, "For of him and through him and to him are all things." Of God, he is the source. Through him, he is the sustainer. And to him, he is the object of all things. "To whom be glory forever." Amen. Brother Allen wants me to finish up the verse. Imagine that. I wonder if, and I don't know the mind of God, but a thought that occurred to me, I wonder if the events of the last couple of weeks, because they are so strong on our mind, because they were so, as one minister said, angered, mad, upset, you know, just incredulous. What happened? Do you think they've stirred us up? I wonder if there isn't, if there might be a purpose there for God's people. We need to be stirred up from time to time. We need to be shaken from our comfortable surroundings, our comfortable seats. We need to get up sometimes and realize and then bow down in humble submission and say, Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done. I love Daniel. I love that scripture in that area. And I'm going to try to paraphrase, and I hope I do it justice. You go on and read. You remember what happened to old Nebuchadnezzar? He had a dream. He had a dream. And Daniel interpreted that dream for him. And he said, you're going to be changed physically. Nebuchadnezzar was brought to his knees. And in type and figure say, he was made to eat dirt. His fingernails grew like claws, and he had feathers, and he was eating the grass. Because of the power and the might of God. Until finally he was forced to admit that all the peoples of the earth are as nothing. And that God worketh his will amongst the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. Not nine people sitting on a court. Not anything that any man, woman, child can do can stay the hand, and he doeth all things according to the good pleasure of his most holy and divine will. I wonder if that isn't a good message for us. I wonder if that isn't a wake-up call for us. Rather than to be incensed, maybe we ought to be still, know that he is God, and beside him there is none other. He is God and there is none else, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying what? My counsel shall stand. And I will do all of my pleasure. That's the God we worship. That's the God I worship. And I believe that's the God you worship. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that? You say you do. You say you do. But do you really believe that God has... Do you believe that his ear is not too heavy that it cannot hear? Do you believe his arm is not too short that it cannot save? Now, I don't want to take a whole lot of time. I want to close, and I hope these tie together as kind of a... I always think it's valuable, and you've already heard about duty, and you need to be up about doing the things that God has commanded you to do. But I want to talk about just for a little bit. A kingdom. The kingdom of God. And that kingdom that was given to you, and this again is just stirring up my mind. I pray it's of the Lord. I want to talk about an inheritance. I want to talk about your inheritance. You see, we have been given, and I hope, like I said, I pray this ties together. You've been given an inheritance. You have it, you possess it today. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and boy, there's two more hours in just these first few verses of 1 Peter. This is so rich. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the things that we have done for ourselves. Oh, I'm sorry, I think I misquoted that. Begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to, for what purpose? Why did Christ die? Well, he died to save us from our sins. But I believe this scripture is also teaching us that he made a way that we should inherit, to an inheritance, undefiled, incorruptible, other way around, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, and reserved in heaven for you. You have an inheritance. You have an inheritance that's incorruptible. Someday this mortal body, this corruption, is going to put on incorruption. Someday this mortality is going to put on immortality. And someday you're going to receive, but let me suggest to you, there's another sense, if I can rightly divide the word of truth here, that inheritance that will happen someday after a while, we have an earnest. We have an earnest. We have a down payment. An earnest money, and you all heard this. I like the analogy that, you know, whenever you go buy a house, you put down earnest money, which says, I'm serious, I'm really wanting, and here's my pledge that I'm going to buy this house. Give me 60 seconds to chase a rabbit. I was talking to somebody down in our neck of the woods, and they were trying to move, and they had found a house that they wanted to move to, and they signed a contract, and they gave it to the seller for the amount, full amount that the seller was asking for. They didn't get the house because somebody else came in and offered $5,000 more. I said, I thought if you had a contract that was binding. No, at least down in Texas, if you get another offer that's better, you can take that one. The housing market down there is just crazy, and that it's because we're growing, we're expanding and so forth. You can put down earnest money, and the next one, they offered more, And they still lost it. They had to do three contracts till they finally were able to get a house. And all of them were above the market price. That's how insane the market's going in Dallas. Your inheritance is more valuable than anything you have here right now. Now, let me turn real quick and go to the 15th chapter of Luke, because I want to tie a couple of things together and then we'll get out of the way. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, mine inheritance." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered it all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So here's the younger of the two sons saying, "Father, I know that I'm going to receive something. I want it now." Isn't that human nature? I want it now. Give it to me now. I don't want to wait. Took it and went into a far country. Took all that he had, went into a far country. And when he had spent all that he had, every last penny, every last talent, every last mite, there arose a mighty famine in the land and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into the fields to feed the swine. Can you imagine a Jew having to feed the swine, an unclean animal, but he's in a foreign country. Someone who didn't understand. Feed the swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And there's so much more in this that we won't get right now. "I will arise," this boy said, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Notice what he said. I know this is nothing new to you. You've heard this and heard it preached, and it's still as true today as you've heard before. He didn't say, "Father, I've sinned against you." He says, "I've sinned against heaven. What I've done, I realize, is against God and against the will of God and against what God would have had me do. That's my sin. I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son." He was faithful to what he said he was going to say, and he said it. He confessed. He confessed what he had done. But the father said to the servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." Let me read, for I have to read the rest of this. "For this my son was dead." We heard about that this weekend. Was he physically dead? No. What was he dead? Death, and I think this was said, but Some loving minister told me years ago, death means separation. Doesn't always mean physical death, but death means separation. He was separated from, in this case, the father and the family and the joy and the love and the peace and the fellowship that he had. This my son is alive again. My son was dead and is alive again. I like what, and I don't remember who the minister was, I apologize. There's many types of resurrection talked about in the scripture. And it's not always the final one. We're resurrected. You know, I thought about that scripture when they said that. What did Apostle Paul say? He says, I die daily. Anybody have that experience? Anybody relate to that? If you die daily, you got to be resurrected again and again and again. He was dead and was alive again, was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And Lord help me, I don't want to get the rest of that because I don't want to muddy the water with the thought that we have. Here's a young man who was impatient. Know any young men that are impatient? Know any older men that were young men that were impatient? Old men that are still impatient? And he said, Father, give me my inheritance. And he took off to the far country. I'm rich. I've got all this, and my father's given me my inheritance. And what did he do? He squandered it. He spent it all on riotous living. And out there in the world, he spent his inheritance on the things of the world. And then the famine came. Dear friends, if the famine hasn't come to your life, it will. It will. You have an inheritance. You have been given an inheritance. What are you doing with it? How are you using it? You've been blessed this weekend to receive blessings beyond measure. You've been blessed to see things that angels desire to look into. That's part of your inheritance, people. What are you going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Are we going to go back out and spend it in the world? Oh, well, I enjoyed that. It was a wonderful meeting. Now I got to get back to work and whatever. Or are you going to wisely invest that inheritance? Are you going to wisely use the things that your father gave you for his honor and praise and glory? My admonition, and I always feel a little uncomfortable giving advice because I never take my own advice. My admonition, don't squander the inheritance you have. Use it wisely. Invest it properly. Like the one that had the the 10 talents and the 5 talents, invest those talents and gain more. Take that beautiful love and the fellowship and the feeling that you've had over these last few days and put it to use. Use it. Use it to God's glory, not your own. Give Him all the praise and thanks that He justly and righteously deserves. And when the famine comes, if you cast, and this is not Arminian, if you cast your bread upon the waters, it will return. It will return after many days. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. We love you dearly. Thank you.